Well, in high school volleyball play last night, the Audubon Wheelers left it all out on the floor in Perry Tuesday night, and it paid off with a huge comeback win over Grandview Christian 3-2. The Wheelers used a strong team effort to rally from two games to nothing to start the night and earn their way onto the state tournament. Grandview Christian started the night strong with a 10-point rally to end the first game 25-17. The Thunder then went on to win the second at 25-22 and take what seemed like an overwhelming lead of 2-0. But the Wheelers stayed focused and took set 3, 25-21. They carried that momentum into the fourth game. The Wheelers started off on a 9-3 run to begin the fourth and had a late 5-point run to set them up for a 25-22 win. The match then turned to the fifth and deciding game, which only goes to 15 points. Those two teams traded early small runs. It was back and forth with a tie until the Wheelers ripped off a 4-point rally to take a 12-8 lead. And they wouldn't let the Thunder get any closer than 3 points the rest of the way as they sealed the win with a Caitlin Schultes pop across to the corner. The Grandview Christian saw a glance off the back row and out of play. After the match, Schultes, a senior, talked about the jubilation after that last point.
I don't remember a whole lot, but I remember the last point. I hit the ground and I just started crying. I was like, everything we have done in the last year has paid off, and it has been so awesome getting to this point. And now we're here, we're going, and it's the best feeling in the world right now.
Schultes said it was just a matter of the Wheelers never giving up when things weren't going their way early.
Well, when we were down two, of course it took a little damper on the mood, but we never gave up. In the locker room before, Mrs. Lang, coach, she told us, you know, we've been down 2-0 before. We've been down, you know, in sets, and we've had our backs against the wall, and we came back and pushed, and I think this tonight we just realized what was at stake. And I mean, the game may not have gone exactly how we planned, you know, offensive wise, had a couple too many errors, but we never gave up and we stuck to it, and we just it paid off for us.
Fellow senior Sydney Obermeyer said the team's confidence grew once they strung some points together as the match moved on.
Yeah, that confidence, just like getting a few kills, our passes, Claire was doing an amazing job setting, and we knew we could do it, and we just kept pushing. We just kept putting the pressure on them, and it worked great.
Well, the Wheelers were beaten in the same position against the Thunder last year, and Obermeyer was happy to experience the other end of the outcome this time.
Yeah, much, much better than last year. We're not leaving the gym crying sad tears. It's all happy tears. It's amazing.
Wheeler head coach Molly Lang credited Grandview Christian for serving aggressively early in the match and taking her team out of their system. She also thought the Wheelers weren't passing well early in the match and said once they settled down and started to get the ball closer to the net, their luck changed.
Once the girls settled down, between those two sets, 2 and 3, we went out to the hall, talked about it a little bit, and I just kind of told them, you know, if we can get that ball about 7-foot line on in, I think we can do it. And the girls got their game face on, and they believed. And, you know, we've been in positions all year where we've been down, or, you know, against IKEA Manning, we were down 2-1, 1-5. I had no doubt in my mind that we could come back, but what a testament to the girls to actually make it happen.
Lang talked about the feeling of making it to state in a big year for her personally.
This is awesome. I'd have to say behind the birth of my baby this last year and getting married, this is top three.
Audubon improved to 27-6 on the season. They'll now head off to the state tournament in Cedar Rapids with a first-round match against 28-7 Springville. That match will be a week from today, Wednesday, November 9th at 8 p.m. in Class 1A. Sydney also advancing to the state volleyball championships. They post a 3-1 win over Siouxland Christian last night. Other 1A winners, Lawton Bronson, Hudson, Janesville, Starmont, Springville, and Holy Trinity Catholic. In 2A last night, St. Albert defeated Pella Christian 3-1 to advance to state. Grundy Center knocked off Tri-Center 3-1. Central Lyon defeated Underwood 3-1. Also winning in 2A, Unity Christian, Western Christian, Columbus Catholic, Sumner Fredericksburg, and Mediapolis. Now, we mentioned Audubon's first-round match next Wednesday. Sydney will play next Wednesday as well at 8 p.m. against Holy Trinity Catholic in 1A. In 2A, Council Bluffs-St. Albert will face Central Lyon in a Wednesday game next week at 4 o'clock in Cedar Rapids. Kemper Catholic will have a Wednesday matchup at noon next Wednesday in the 3A tournament against Davenport Assumption. Lewis Central plays next Tuesday, November 8th at 4 o'clock against Dubuque Wallert in first-round play in Class 4A. Well, the Chicago Cubs and the Cleveland Indians have gone a combined 176 seasons without winning a World Series. It seems only fitting for those two clubs to send their fall classic to a seventh game. Addison Russell crushed a grand slam, and the Cubs stretched the series to the limit by ripping the Indians 9-3 in Cleveland last night. Russell's blast off of reliever Dan Otero put Chicago up 7-0 by the third inning and allowed winning pitcher Jake Arrieta to coast. The Cubs put together a three-run rally before the Indians took their first swings, doing it after pitcher Josh Tomlin retired the first two hitters. Chris Bryant got things going by homering for the second time in as many games on an 0-2 curveball. Chicago later put runners on first and third before the Cleveland outfield turned Addison Russell's soft fly ball into a two-run double to right center to make it 3-0. Tomlin was charged with six runs over two and a third innings. Anthony Rizzo added a two-run homer in the ninth for the Cubs, who trailed the series 3-1 before pulling out a 3-2 win on Sunday. Arrieta struck out nine, limiting the Indians to a pair of runs and three hits over five and two-thirds innings. Arrieta has two of the Cubs' three series victories. Closer Aroldis Chapman entered in the seventh inning for the second straight game, but he wasn't needed to finish the victory. Game seven is tonight at Cleveland's Progressive Field. Corey Kluber will take the mound in an effort to close out Cleveland's first championship since 1948. Kyle Hendricks will toe the rubber, with the Cubs trying to end a 108-year World Series title drought. Iowa has excelled as an underdog under Coach Kirk Ferentz, and it's a position they'll become accustomed to over the final month of the season. The Hawkeyes take a 5-3 record into 20th-ranked Penn State this week.
Yeah, I'd rather be undefeated. We were last year. That was more fun. But we're not right now. We're 5-3. But, you know, the bottom line is that there's still four games left to play. And, you know, that's what it gets down to, and really it's what we do on every day here that's going to define this season for us.
The Hawkeyes will face three ranked foes in the final four games of the season.
Unbeknownst to the experts, many of the experts I heard this past out of season, you know, our schedule looks a little bit more challenging than it did back in July. I heard a lot of judgment about how easy our schedule is. I think we got three ranked teams on the schedule right now, plus an away game. So, but that's great.
Well, these teams met 12 times during a 14-year period, but they haven't played since a 38-14 Nittany Lion victory in 2012. Ferentz says they used the off week to evaluate the Hawkeyes' struggling offense, but there won't be any major changes.
You know, you're always going to try to lean left or lean right based on what you're seeing performance-wise and then also health-wise. Those two things really factor into it. But, yeah, it's a constant evaluation. And then the other part is, you know, we had more time as a coaching staff last week to really sit down and not only do self-scout, but really maybe talk a little bit more about, you know, what-ifs, that type of thing, whereas you're a little bit more limited in game weeks. But it's not like we're going to look a whole lot different. I can assure you that, Saturday. Hopefully it'll look better.
We'll have that game for you Saturday night. It's a night game at Happy Valley. 4:30, we're on the air with the pregame. 6:30 is kickoff. Iowa's offense is typically revolved around the idea that a strong line and interchangeable running backs will open up the passing game. The Hawkeyes didn't expect its receivers to be so ineffective that their entire offensive identity would be compromised, though. Iowa heads into November with a serious deficiency at wide receiver. Only one of them, senior Riley McCarron, is active among the active Hawkeyes in the top four on the team in catches. Iowa's just 107th nationally in passing offense. That statistic is even more glaring given that the Hawkeyes have a senior quarterback, C.J. Beathard, who many pegged as among the Big Ten's best entering this season. Iowa, which is coming off a bye week, plays at number 20 Penn State on Saturday night. The Hawkeyes might take on a different look this weekend, as back Akram Wadley said Tuesday that he occasionally worked as a slot receiver in practice during the bye week. The 17th-ranked Western Michigan Broncos got a chance to show a national TV audience how good they are, and they didn't disappoint. Corey Davis had three touchdown receptions and caught 12 passes for a Mid-American Conference record 272 yards in Western Michigan's 52-20 pounding of Ball State last night. Northern Iowa coach Mark Farley says he isn't throwing in the towel on a possible playoff bid just yet. The Panthers suffered another in a string of narrow losses in a 24-20 setback to North Dakota State, and they take a 3-5 record on the road to Indiana State.
We have to win November, and by winning November, put yourself in position so you can be talked about on the selection day, because it's been done before. And we're one of the few teams that can actually speak like that, because of we've got four losses by 4 points, all the top 15 teams.
The Panthers will need to finish 6-5, and Farley says they are only focused on the Sycamores. He says the Panthers' schedule could help them get a playoff bid, even if they finish with five losses. In NFL news, Chiefs running back Jamaal Charles is going back on injured reserve after developing swelling in his surgically repaired right knee. A person familiar with that decision told that to the Associated Press. They spoke anonymously because they weren't supposed to be speaking. The designation means the four-time Pro Bowl running back will miss at least 8 weeks, so he could return for the end of the regular season and the playoffs. Charles had only 12 carries for 40 yards in 3 games this season. The Chiefs already thin at running back after Spencer Ware sustained a concussion Sunday, signed former Titans second-round pick Bishop Sankey on Tuesday. That's a look at sports this hour, brought to you by McAtee Tire and Service Center, your Goodyear dealer in Atlantic. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.